Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned in to Home, Helen Arm Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so excited that you have joined me on today. I'm excited about our lesson for today and what God has in store for us on this day. On today, we're going to be talking about the new covenant. And our lesson text is going to be taken from Jeremiah 31, verses number 31 through 34. And if you'd like to call in, you can feel free to call in on today at 646-378-1469. Please let me know if your reception is good as well. I'm going to look at this lesson, and I know God have a tremendous blessing for you on today. And so stay tuned for what God has for you on today. Today's lesson is, Behold, from Jeremiah 31, chapter 31, verses number 31 through 34. And it reads on this line, Behold, the days come when, said the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. Although I was a husband unto them, said the Lord, but this shall be a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. That after those days, said the Lord, I will put my law in their inward part, and I will write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, said the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. Also, let's take a look at Hebrews chapter number 8, verses number 12 and verse number 7 through 12. Chapter 8, verse number 7 through 12. And it reads on this line, For if that the first covenant have been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, Behold, the days come, said the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the days when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continue not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, said the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my law into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brethren, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquity will I remember no more. Now, on today, we're going to be looking at the covenant. We're going to look at the new covenant and how the new covenant is established on a better promise. And then we're going to look at the sign of the new covenant. And then we're going to look at the new covenant that came to Israel first and the new covenant through eternity. So we're going to look at those on our lessons on today. And I pray that you have a pen or a pencil and that you take some notes, because I know for security that you are going to be blessed and revelation is coming to you on today. Let's look at this. Again, we're talking about the covenant. A covenant is a solemn contract or commitment to perform an obligation that is agreed to by two or more parties. In the past, people often sealed a covenant with a handshake because their word was their bond. And that was so important back in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and even up until the 19th century, a lot of transaction was taking place through just by word, because people kept their word, and their word were their bond. And so let's look here at what the scripture has unfolded to us on today. It says, today agreement most often are formally documented on paper with witnesses attesting to the earnest and the sincere desire of all parties involved. This is the common practice because, sadly, a person's word today is often unreliable. In contrast to man's word, however, God's word is true and sure, and we know it, yea and amen. God, as we know, cannot lie, and whatsoever he said will come to pass, just like he surely has said. We recognize that God's promises, they are sure and they are steadfast. From generation to generation, God's promises are steadfast unto his people. Let's look here. We are going to explore some of the old covenant and the new covenant also in this particular lesson. There is a purpose for both of God's plan from the Old Testament as well as the new. So let's look here. The new covenant was much better for several reasons. Number one, the first covenant dealt with Israel specifically and their relationship with God. So as we progress, remember, the first covenant, it dealt with Israel and their relationship with God. The law, it was weak because it was unable to save mankind from their sins. The blood of animals and goats could not remit sin, but merely rolled them over ahead until the next day, until the perfect Lamb of God who shed his blood for the sin of the world. And his blood can only wash away the sins of the entire human race if they will individually follow God's plan of salvation in the New Testament. So hold that closely in your heart when we're talking about the New Covenant and the Old, New Testament and Old. Both the Jews and the Gentiles had opportunity to find salvation since the New Testament went into effect. Because of the new covenant, the Gentiles' church is now engrafted into the like a natural tree and given many other wonderful promises. And so we as the Gentile has been engrafted in. So let's look at this. The sign of the New Testament is the new birth experience found in the New Testament. Through repentance, water baptism, for the remission of our sins in Jesus' name and for the infilling of the Holy Ghost, we become new creation in or new creatures in Christ Jesus. When we initially receive the Holy Ghost, we begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of the Lord gives utterance. We regularly participate in communion service, which causes us to stop and reflect and remember the price that was paid for our redemption. As we partake of the bread and of the fruit of the vine, we remember his broken body and his precious blood that was shed for us. At those times, we are keenly made aware of the difference between the Old and the New Testament. So every time we engage into or participate in communion service, it is a reminder for us as children of God of the price that was paid for our redemption. And it also reminds us of the Old Testament covenant versus the New Testament covenant. Okay, let's look at that. Let's look at this new covenant, this new contract, or this new commitment that God has made with his people. The new covenant came to Israel first, and remember, they rejected it. The tame olive branch was cut off, and the wild branch was grafted in. The Lord has opened the door to the Gentiles to be part of his church, which also includes believing Jews, all those that will believe. No man, a woman, boy, or girl will be exempt. All that will believe. Then at this spousal state, at the end of this dispensation, he will turn again to the Israel and restore the nation of Israel in preparation for the millennium reign of Christ on the earth for 1,000 years. The new covenant has eternal effect, for we will have eternal life by his blood and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, let's look at our first point for today, which is the new covenant, the first covenant and the old covenant. Let's take a look at that, and we're going to make our contrast on today. The old covenant covered the time period from Abraham up into Calvary. So make a note of that. So from the time of Abraham unto the cross of Calvary, that's when the Old Testament was enacted or active or in place. The Lord called Abraham out from his father's house, Ur of the Chaldeans, and led him to a new house in the land of Canaan. God promised Abraham and his descendants would have be great in numbers, and that they would enjoy God's blessings as a part of this covenant. God made numerous promises unto Abraham and also communicated to him certain expectations from Abraham and his people. By this covenant, they were to inherit the promised land forever. And so that's what's part of this, again, the Old Testament or Old Covenant. God also communicated that Abraham's descendants were to abstain from idolatry and to keep themselves true to him. God also promised Abraham would be the father of many nations. He also required that every male child would be circumcised, and later the descendants of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob grew in great numbers of people, and they temporarily moved from the promised land unto Egypt to survive the great famine. And also in time, the Egyptian made the people of Israel their captive and slaves. Also, God raised Moses up and delivered them from Pharaoh's bondage and returned them back to the homeland in Canaan. On their journey to Canaan, the Israelites came near Mount Sinai and camped there so that the Lord would give Moses the law and written on the tablets of the Tenth Commandment. At Sinai, God made a covenant with the people of Israel based on the law written on those tablets. God also gave Moses many words of instruction so that he would turn instruction to the children of Israel how to keep their covenant with God. Now, we as children of God, and we're going to talk about that later in our show today, that we must keep our part of the covenant with God. And we're going to talk about those bilateral and unilateral covenants that God has made with his people. So stay tuned. You are going to be tremendously blessed in this lesson. God told Moses to build a sanctuary to worship, and he gave him the pattern by which he would build it. And we find that the tabernacle provided a place for God to dwell among his people. And there was to be a brazen altar where animals' blood would be shed for a temporary atonement for the sins of God's people. Through the blood of animals, even though they could not remit sins, the sins of mankind, their sacrifice did gain a temporary appeasement of God's wrath until the cross could deal with all the sins mankind sinned or humanity sinned. Now, moreover, when we looked at these sacrificial service provided types and shadows of better things to come in the future time. So let's take a look here. Now we looked at the first covenant. Now let's look at the second covenant. The second covenant is this new covenant. The new covenant, it began at Calvary when Jesus Christ died on the cross. He uttered the words, "It is finished," and he died. His death, burial, and resurrection did away with the old covenant. It is now fulfilled, and the new day has dawned. And we as children of God, we must grasp a hold of that, that at the cross of Calvary, the old covenant ended, and the new one went into place. The new covenant was made through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Under the old covenant, countless numbers of animals had surrendered their lives as a substitute for the sins of the people. The law could not change the nature of mankind and his tendency to sin. Now, I want you to get that, because that's the key for us as children of God. It's the nature of mankind and their tendency to sin. Those are the two key elements as why the blood of Jesus Christ has to be applied to an individual life. When they go down in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, so that it can change the nature of that individual and the tendencies to sin. So those two elements are key when a person is baptized in Jesus' name, not just in the title of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, because those are titles, and the title have no power to change the nature and the tendency of humanity or man, woman, boy, or girl. So I want you to get that revelation, and so that you can understand the relevancy of being baptized or taking on the name of Jesus, so that the nature of mankind could be changed. The tendencies to sin can be deceased or stopped and things. The law could not save mankind. The law only revealed the weakness of human flesh, man's inability to fulfill God's righteousness by his own power, and his need for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, I pray that you got that, because that right there is a revelancy and a greater understanding and enlightenment of why we must be baptized in Jesus' name, because the law couldn't do it. The titles, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost couldn't do it. It took the name, which also signified the blood of Jesus Christ, to be applied to our life in order for the change to take place of an individual being born again. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ that we become the new creation. No longer are the laws of God written on the tablets of stone, but his law are now written on our hearts. See the transition. We are not just reformed, but we become new creations in Christ with a brand new nature. The places we used to go no more. The things we used to do, we do no more. Especially the things that will bring an offense to God and his kingdom. We sin no more. We're conscious of things that we do because we don't want to offend God. And God give us the Holy Ghost to enable us to live a holy and a righteous life before him. So that is a revelation in itself and things, and a greater understanding as to why we must be born again, because of our nature and our tendency to sin against God. And not in the old state or old man, we cannot and we do not have power over the nature of mankind until we get baptized and that name is applied to our life. Some people can discipline themselves greatly and things and have great self-discipline, but you need that blood applied to your life. It said over in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. There it is, child of God. Every year around the 1st of January, everybody decides to reform or change their way of living, but often they discover that they are powerless to resist the temptation and drift back into their old ways, or old patterns and things that they used to do. They no longer have, they don't have the inner strength to live righteously. When we avail ourselves to the redemptive plan of God under the new covenant, however, we receive power to live victoriously because we yielded ourselves to the redemptive plan that God has for our lives. And that's how we can live victoriously before the Lord God Almighty. The new covenant, let's take another look here. The new covenant brought about greater priesthood and a greater high priest. Now let's look at Aaron. Aaron and his lineage of sons, they were set apart for the service of God under the old covenant. But they were sinners as well. They kept the ordinance of God pertaining to the law. But their sinful nature was not changed. They suffered the same temptation as the rest of the people. But today, Jesus Christ, our greater high priest, and he is not tainted by sin. He is holy and he is pure. He did not come from the order of Aaron, but he came from the order of Melchizedek. Now, I'll get that. He didn't come from the order in the lineage of Aaron, but he came from the order of Melchizedek. Through Jesus Christ and the new covenant, our sinful nature is converted, and we become new creation to live in the power of his victory, amen, in the victory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ah, that is a revelation for the people of God today. Now, let's look at today, we're going to look at the better promise, the new covenant, and how it was established on a better promise or better promises. Don't you dare change that dial. You're getting ready to be blessed with your understanding and your knowledge of what God has done in your life so you can grab a hold of the greater understanding and vastness of the blessing that resides in you. The book of Hebrew often is called the book of better things. The reason is that because the book observes a comparison between the two covenants. In this comparison, it celebrates the many aspects in which the new covenant is a better covenant than that of the old. Now, let's take a look at it. It talks about a better promise, a better covenant, a better sacrifice, a better procession, a better country, a better resurrection, a better mediator, and a better blood. And those are eight different distinctions of better promise unto the people of God. And we're going to look at each one of those things as we move forward here. Number one, the better promise. The first covenant promised only temporal blessings. It assured the Israelites of a natural homeland for an inheritance. The Lord protected them from their enemies and the diseases that befell the heathen, but it did not deliver them from their sinful nature and change them inwardly. And that's key for us to recognize and understand that. It was that inward thing that was not changed in their sinful nature. Their sins were not forgiven, but they were only temporarily set aside to await the yet future work of the cross of Calvary. Now today, we are promised the complete forgiveness of sin and salvation through Jesus Christ. Moreover, we have the hope of a new home in heaven. We are delivered from sinful bondage through the new birth experience. We become new creations in Christ Jesus with a better promise than those afforded under the old covenant. Now, let's look at number two, a better covenant. The new covenant is a better covenant for many reasons. But the foremost reason is that the old covenant did not change humanity internally. Today, we are changed when we are born again. The new covenant involves a true conversion experience because of the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Number three, let's look at the third point. A better sacrifice. The blood of animals could not remit sin. The animal sacrifice of the Old Testament were only able to postpone the judgment of sin. However, Jesus Christ became our sacrifice for sin once and for all by his pure and sinless offering for sin. Only his blood could wash away our sin. He was that better sacrifice. Now, let's look at the next point. A better procession. Because of the work of the new covenant, we have a better hope of an eternal home in heaven. Under the old covenant, Israel was blessed with earthly blessing and possession. But today, we are promised an eternal inheritance. Our earthly possessions, they will rust and they will degenerate, but our heavenly treasure will not be destroyed. Point number five, a better country. Canaan was described as a land flowing with milk and honey. It was given to the people of Israel as a part of God's covenant with them. It had many wonderful attributes, but it cannot be compared to our eternal home in heaven. The beauties of heaven are breathtaking when we try to even just visualize what God has prepared for us who love him. It is beyond our wildest imagination and dream what God has prepared for the people of God. And we can look into that over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9. Heaven is the country promised to those who experience the new birth provision of the new covenant. Point number 6. The history of God's people is related with martyrdom. There are multitudes who died in the faith and who could not relent to the pressures of the evildoers. The old covenant did not provide a means of resurrection of the dead, but because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they now await the resurrection with the dead in Christ shall rise. And you'll see that over in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16. They will have new bodies without infirmities and pain. They will never die again, but will have eternal life. Therefore, the resurrection of the new covenant is a better resurrection. Let's look at another better thing. It would be a better mediator. The priests, they sprinkle blood on the mercy seat under the old covenant. The people depended on the priest to minister for them. Jesus Christ is our mediator in the new covenant, who's making intercession and mediating on our behalf. Number 8, better blood. The blood of bullocks and lambs did not have the power to remove sin. Many sacrifices was offered through the centuries with the same result, only a temporary appeasement of the wrath of God. But the blood that Jesus Christ shed for the sin of mankind was like no other blood. His blood has power to wash away the sins of every person who responds in obedient faith to the grace of God. Only Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, can save the entire human race, and he will save all who is obedient in faith and come to him. Point number 9, a better kingdom. During the time of the Old Covenant, Israel desired a king to rule over them. Even though it was not the best option for Israel, God allowed their desire to be fulfilled. Thus began the reign of numerous kings who ruled over Judah and Israel. But none of their kingdom, nor other kingdom on earth, had been lasting. Each of those kingdoms was only temporarily. Rulers have lived and died, and others have given their place. But the new covenant is introducing a new and better kingdom that will soon come to full power even on earth. Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings, will rule over this better kingdom, for it will be a kingdom without end. Point number 10. Oh, yellow bullshot. Thank you for staying with us. God is going to bless you. Point number 10, a better high priest. The high priest of Israel had to offer themselves every year. They was under the curse of sin and needed redemption for themselves as well as for everyone in the camp. They had to repeat the process every year. But today, we have a better high priest, for Jesus Christ offered himself once for us, and his blood is sufficient to save us from sin. His one offering from sin is sufficient for all time. Let's look at Hebrews chapter number 9, verse 24 through verse 28, and it reads on this line. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world have he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as he is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was made, was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look on him or for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Come on and put your hands together and shout hallelujah, shout yalorobo shout. Talking about the blessings of the Lord maketh us rich and add no sorrow, child of God. I feel the power of God right there. Let's look at the next sign of the covenant. And we're going to look at the new birth. We're going to look at the Lord's table in remembrance of him. And then we're going to look at the new covenant when it came to Israel. And then as the Gentiles being grafted in. Let's look at the new birth, the sign of the covenant. Just as Israel had a certain thing that set them apart from the heathen under the old covenant, there was a definite element to our experience with God when we are born again. We must, number one, repent of our sin, ask his forgiveness, and to repent is to have a change of heart, to turn around and turn away from those things that we did. We are not only to be sorry for our sins, but also purpose in our heart to change the direction that we have been going in our life. After repenting of our sins, the scripture commands us to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of our sins. And you will see that in Acts 2:38. Again, going back to the beginning of our lesson today, talking about how that blood of Jesus Christ was made the atonement for our sin, because that's what took place in order for the human nature to be changed and to stop the tendency of sin in the individual life. And that's why it's important for the baptism in Jesus' name for the remission of sin, for the tendency, for the nature, human man nature, to be changed. When we then, after then, we receive the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, which accompanies us by the initial of the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. These experiences together comprise the new birth experience. So I want you to grab that because it's key. And if you don't have it, It's yours just for the asking. Ask God. He will lead you and guide you into all truth. That's what he said. He's going to lead and guide you into all truth. Amen. And he'll lead you into that place where you can be baptized in Jesus' name and you can be filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of the Lord giving you utterance. Let's look at the next point, the Lord's table in remembrance of me. Our salvation was purchased by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary. Prior to his death, Jesus celebrated the Passover with his disciples. The Passover was established when Israel was in Egypt, forced to focus on the lamb for each family, which the family killed in the evening, put his blood on the doorpost and on the lintel, roasting the meat and ate it during the night. It was a sacrifice for their sin and protected the family from God's judgment that passed through Egypt that night. The lamb that was slain during the Passover, it was a type and shadow of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that would take away the sin of the world. The sprinkling of the blood on the doorpost and the lintel was a type and shadow of the blood of Christ being applied to our hearts. So you see, when you get baptized in the name of Jesus, that blood is being applied to your life, your heart, your mind, and your soul. The unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine was symbolic of the broken body and the blood that was shed for us. Each time we participate in communion service, we are remembering Calvary and what it represents to us. It is a memorial service in which we give thanks to God for his sacrifice for us. When we partake of the Lord's table, we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. It is a time of self-examination and recommitment to God. It is a time to be thankful for the supreme sacrifice of our Lord for our salvation. Glory be unto God. Oh, Lord, we worship you for that precious blood that was shed over 2,000 years ago. Now, let's look here. Let's look at our next point. The next point is the new covenant. It came to Israel first. And let's look at that. And then the Gentiles, they were engrafted in. And we're going to look at those two points real quickly. The gospel of Jesus Christ was first extended to the people of Israel. But as a nation, they rejected him and called for his crucifixion. Because of their rejection of the Messiah, blindness came upon them as a whole, and they was cut off for a period of time. The scripture likened Israel to an olive tree. Israelites were like a tamed olive branch that was cut off while a wild olive branch, which were the Gentiles, were engrafted in. The Israelites believed in one God, while the Gentiles were heathen with multiple gods. We were the wild olive branch that was engrafted in, that gave us an opportunity for salvation. Israel's eyes were darkened, and many of them still continue today in spiritual blindness. Let's look at point number B. The Gentiles were grafted in. Let's take a look at that. The purpose of God was to have himself a Gentile bride following his rejection by his people, the Jewish people. He called a Gentile people out of sin, and they who were not his people are now the people of God. And you'll read that over in 1 Peter 2, verses number 9 through verse 10. And it reads on this line, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have not attained mercy, but have now attained mercy. Come on and just shout hallelujah, shout your little boy. Thanks be unto God what he has wrought for his people. And I'm talking about for all people. Whosoever will, let him come. All nation, all tongues, all walk of life. No person is exempt from partaking in God's plan of redemption and salvation for all humanity. All humanity. The promise God made to Abraham was that his seed would be as the sand on the seashore and the stars in heaven. If the Jewish people are the natural children of Abraham by birth, the children of God are the spiritual children of Abraham by the new birth, made possible by the new covenant. We who were adulterous Gentiles with many gods had experienced salvation by the new birth, and now we worship the one true and living God. Someday, soon, he will catch away his awaiting bride and take us to be with him. We will have a marriage supper of the Lamb in the New Jerusalem. After the rapture, however, he will return again to deal with his people of Israel. Now, let's look at our next point, the gathering of Israel. During the past many centuries, Israel has been scattered throughout the earth. They have suffered greatly since rejecting the Lord. Their plot was a direct fulfillment of the prophecy of the scripture. During the 20th century, however, they began to return home to the land of Israel in great numbers. Today, the people of Israel have regained their homeland, and their flag is flying. Many of them are still scattered throughout the world, but soon others will be gathered back home to their homeland. There are yet some dark days of suffering ahead for them during the time of Jacob's trouble, a time called tribulation. When it seems that hope is fading away, however, the Lord will come and fight for them and smite Israel's enemies. In the final analysis, Israel will be saved, and God will put his law in their hearts. They shall be grafted back into the olive tree once again, and they shall inherit their promised land. Come on and shout hallelujah. That's why we pray for the peace of Israel. Let's look at another point. The new covenant is through eternity. We who have availed ourselves of the grace of God have a wonderful future. We always think of events having a beginning and an end. We are also bound by time. Our mind cannot even grasp the significance of eternity with the Lord. However, as members of the body of Christ, we will live throughout eternity with our blessed Lord. We will have a glorified body that will never suffer or die. Jesus will wipe away our tears from our eyes. There will be no more persecution, no more disappointment, no more diseases, no more separation from our redeemed friends and loved ones. As the songwriter would say, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Amen. Glory be unto God. There will be no more suffering. There will be no more pain. Our sorrows will be wiped away because we will forever reign with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ has made our future glorious when he instituted the new covenant. It was because of his love for his people, his creation, that he became, came, and he suffered and he died to bring it all to pass. Come on and just shout hallelujah with me. I can feel you through the airways right now. We must worship him and give him the praise that's due unto his glorious name. Let's look at the clothing. The old covenant came at Mount Sinai when God gave the law to Moses. The law was written on the tables of stone, and it gave mankind the instruction on how to live. The law did not give mankind the indwelling power to live up to the demands of the law. Mankind had to deal with his own carnal nature, which resisted the ordinance of God. The law of sin was working in their members to oppose the law of God. The question of how to deal with sin was answered when Moses instructed the children of Israel concerning the sacrifices that they were to offer. A blood sacrifice was required as the payment for their sin. The blood of animals became an avenue of a temporary atonement for that dispensation. The blood of animals could not remit sin, but the sacrifice delayed the judgment of God upon their sin until the cross could deal with them once and for all. The new covenant was begun at Calvary with the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God, the one and only sacrifice that was able to remit the sin of humanity. By the new birth experience, the laws of God were written on the fleshly tables of our hearts, and we are given a new nature. When the plan of salvation is obeyed, we become a new creation in Christ Jesus. This new covenant is made strong only by the ability of the will of man, but through the blood of Jesus Christ. This new covenant is far superior than the old one, for it is established on better promises. The new covenant actually changed us when we were born again. We no longer live upon the laws of Moses, but we are living in a dispensation of grace. We are saved by grace, the unmerited favor of God, not by our own works. We are promised power over sin, however, so that we can live a victorious life before our Lord. The old covenant promised only temporal blessings that dealt with just the land of Canaan. The descendants of Abraham, they were promised a homeland here on earth. But the new covenant promised a better country, a home in heaven with eternal life. The sacrifice of Jesus was superior sacrifice to that of the animals that were offered throughout the years of the law. His blood is the only blood that removes sin, and now he ever lives to make intercession for us. Oh, come on and just shout hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory be unto God. The priesthood of the old covenant was inferior because the priests were imperfect. They were imperfect. However, Jesus Christ, who is our high priest, is perfect, and he is sinless. Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he became the first fruit of those who sleep and who will be raised at the resurrection at the rapture. We have a blessed hope of eternal life by the hope of that resurrection that lies within us as children of God. We are promised a better kingdom than the earthly kingdom, than the monarch that reigns throughout this world. His kingdom is without end. Each time we are partaker in the communion service, we are remembering the death of Jesus Christ that purchased this new covenant. So when we go back to our communion table, we want to remember that this was what was purchased of the new covenant through his blood, through his body. It purchased the new covenant that we are living in today. Can you shout hallelujah? We partake of the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine, which represent his broken body and the blood that he shed for us. It is a time for us to examine ourselves that reminds us of both of his death for us and him coming again, his soon coming again. So here we have it, children of God. The new covenant was offered to Israel first, and they rejected it, and God turned to the Gentile to take a bride for himself. The eyes and the ears and the heart of Israel were darkened, and the light of the gospel shined on to the Gentiles. We are those wild olive branch that was engrafted in as a tame branch was cut off just for a time that we might get in. Can you shout hallelujah? So after the rapture, God will turn again to Israel, and they shall be gathered together once again, and they will live in the land that God has promised unto Abraham long ago. The new covenant will bring us an everlasting reward throughout eternity. We will experience the result of this covenant eternally as we live forever with our Lord. Can you shout hallelujah? I hope this here lesson on the new covenant has been a blessing unto you and have enlightened your eyes. As the scripture has stated over in Hebrews 8:6, but now have he attained a more excellent ministry, by how much more also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. And we focused on God. He gave us this new covenant with the promise of a new heart, so that both the Jews and the Gentiles might be saved in Christ Jesus. I hope that this has given you a greater understanding of the new covenant, as well as a greater understanding of the old covenant and things. We looked at the importance of being born again and that blood of Jesus Christ being applied to our lives. Also about when we come to the communion table and we take of his blood and take of the wine and of the bread as a symbolic element as we partake of, as a remembrance of his death and his burial and his resurrection. But not only that, but it also point our mind to remember he's on his way back to rapture his bride out of this world. And, oh, I don't know about you, child of God, I'm glad about it. I'm so glad about it that I have been engrafted in as a wild olive branch into the body of Christ. And so, child of God, we don't want to lightly esteem what our Lord and Savior Christ has did for us over 2,000 years ago. He began it over there on Calvary when he died on the cross of Calvary. It ushered in that new covenant. And so on today, I pray that this has given you a greater revelation about the new covenant. Tell somebody, encourage someone to come listen to the archive of this lesson about the new covenant that God has given unto us. And child of God, I pray that you will hold on to your covenant with God. We will talk more about the various covenants. I know I said earlier in my lesson that we were going to talk about the different types of covenants, and we did not get into all of that because I felt an urgency on today is to share with you the new covenant. Then we can go back and look at some of the other things and some of the types and symbols and shadows of the things that was to come. But sometimes we just need a greater understanding. God said, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And Pastor Orm is a voice crying in the wilderness and crying out for God's people that they may hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto their church so that they can have a greater understanding of the work of the cross of Calvary and who you are in the body of Christ. And so once again, I pray that this was a tremendous blessing to you and that you were fed meat on today. And I ask that you can, if you, at your convenience, if you go and visit our website, it's ShekinahGlory.com, ShekinahGloryTabernacle.com. If you have any questions, you can email me at HelenOrm@MSN.com. I would love to hear from you and things. And I hope and I pray that this was a blessing unto you and that you are being edified through these words of empowerment, that you can live victoriously through the word of God, through principles, and you can contextualize it or apply it to your life because it is relevant even to today. Yes, methods have changed, some things have changed, but one thing has remained the same, and that is the word of the Lord. It shall not fade away. It shall stand sure, true, and steadfast in the life of his people. So be blessed, child of God, as you begin to remember what God has done. You are a covenant child of God, and God have a blessing for you. It's yours just for the asking. The Bible let us know if you don't have it, God got it, and you're just a prayer or a question away from your miracle and your blessing today. I hear the Bible said, ask, and ye shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you, child of God. Don't you dare give up. Don't you dare back up. If you do anything, go back down on your knees and ask of God. Go back and speak again. Go back and knock again. That door will open. You shall find it, and you shall receive of God. I pray that this word has been found a place in your heart today as you leave this airway today or listening to this lesson today. This will be the best day that you ever lived as you move forward in the promises of God. Remember, there are better things to come even in your life. That mediator, the promises that God have already laid up for you, seek them today. Claim them. They're yours just for the asking. God is going to bless you and your nation. So, child of God, before you hang up, I want you just to couple this with your faith, because the Bible said that it did not profit them because they didn't couple it with their faith. And I just want you to say, Lord, I receive today of your hand the words that have been spoken in my life. And you go on, child of God, and the manifestation of these blessings are coming to your house this day. Can you shout hallelujah? Gracious Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come into the home of your precious children on today and to have a greater understanding of the new covenant that you have already prepared for us over 2,000 years ago. By your stripes, we are healed, O God. Your finances healed. Your relationships are healed. Your children are healed. Your body, your finances are healed. By your stripes, you are healed, child of God. Go on in peace and be led by joy.
Blog Talk Radio.
And so do I. Again, thank you for joining me on this glorious day. I look forward to our time on tomorrow on our next session. Again, tune in to home. You will be blessed by the word of the Lord. God bless you, my friend.